have every enemy. Thank you, Lord.
Desire in my life.
With my hands.
Work with my hands.
Speak with my lips.
Speak with my lips.
See with my eyes.
See with my eyes. And walk with my feet.
Oh, have the preeminence.
Have the preeminence.
That you desire.
That you desire in my life. In my life.
Oh, have the preeminence.
Have the preeminence. That you desire.
Oh, in my life, Lord.
In my life.
Oh, in my life.
In my life.
Have the preeminence
that you desire
in my life.
Expressing the deep desire in our hearts. We see the need for it. We know that's what His desire is also. That's what He's working to achieve. That's the place to be had in the very beginning. When man made a choice and put Him out of his life. When man fell to his ruin. But God, rich in mercy, desire to make a way that He will come back. That He will live in man again. He will walk in our feet, work with our hands, speak through our lips, think through our mind, believe with our heart. That man could be a reflection of Him. That He and man can be in union again. In this great hour, at evening time, God is restoring that today. I'm so glad for that. Amen. That we have a message that has opened up the way for us to come back into this blessed fellowship. Jesus prayed, Father, that they may be one as I and you are one. That prayer could never fail, friends. That was God Himself praying according to His own plan with all power to achieve and bring to pass what He had purposed. Blessed be His wonderful name. We are thankful to be in His presence today. We want to greet you in the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a little dedication here. We'd like to take time to have this dedication. I had that paper a while ago somewhere. But I believe it's Josiah. Amen. Tyler. Is that what it is? Josiah Tyler. Amen. Then will you brought unto Him little children, that He should put His hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto Me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And He laid His hands on them and departed thence. How thankful we are that even the ones that we don't see, the things that may seem insignificant, unimportant, yet we see written in the scriptures. The very expression of God Himself when He was here upon the face of the earth. Something that the disciples thought maybe was not too important. Something that could be brushed aside and put for another time. Maybe they saw the people was maybe shouldn't be given this consideration. The Lord had a busy schedule. But sometimes, even those little things, just like him when he was being born in the earth, had no room for him in the inn. He was born in a stable. Maybe the innkeeper couldn't see who that man and that woman was and what that woman was carrying inside of her. So maybe he just brushed them aside. When Mary took him to the temple, maybe there were some people knowing of her reputation. The ill fame that was attached to her name, being pregnant before the marriage took place, not realizing it was the Holy Spirit, that they kept the distance from her, not realizing what she was carrying. But Simeon knew, Anna knew. Led by the Holy Spirit, he brought them to it. And I believe that even little Hannah that day when she held that little child in her hands, to many was just another little woman. It was going to take them some years before they saw the value of that child that she was carrying. When Amram and Jochebed refused to put that little baby on the Nile, it was some years after Israel was going to realize the great faith that woman had. Some might think she's foolish and risking her own life and being a fanatic. Why? She didn't like all the other women. But sometimes we don't see those things. But God knows every life that comes in the earth. The time and season, the purpose. Even when Jephthah was born like an illegitimate child, they didn't realize that one day all Israel would have to gather under him. Standing there with an ill fame and all the elders and tribes who had scorned him and had prejudice in their heart, trying to discriminate against him, would have had to come under his divine leadership. So it is many times. But God knows, so he says, suffer little ones to come unto me. And he gave time because he knew who each one was. And for the purpose, he had sent him into the earth. Let us bow our hearts. Your precious sister here and her husband, and the little boy they want to dedicate this morning, coming to the knowledge of the faith, and they so desire to put everything in place and line up everything that the Lord could be pleased, not just to say they believe, but to do the things that need to be done as they recognize the things that are at home. Gracious Father, we stand in your presence today. We thank you, Lord, for this young couple that you are drawing by your Holy Spirit, knowing that they have been ministered to and they have shown such a respect and a willingness to walk in the light that has shone upon their path. And Lord, as they would see and examine their own lives and their own circumstance in the light of the revealed word that has flashed across their path, they see things that need to be put into place. Having had this little boy and knowing that, Lord, you've made provision for them who have not yet come to the age of accountability, that they can be brought and be offered up in dedication to a life of service, because this is acceptable in your sight. This is the very example that you left for us. And this is the provision and the hope that you have given to parents. Dear God, who will come in and recognize that not only for them have you made provision, but even for their offspring, Father. We thank you, Lord, for that respect, Father. We know you would respect those that would respect you. Those that would recognize your word and judge themselves by your word rather than sit in judgment of your word. And then come in submission when they would see, Lord, what is required of them. I pray that you will bless this young man and this young woman. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ shine so clearly into their hearts that it will unveil to them their life's purpose, who they are, what you have made them. That they can come into this great discovery, that they can recognize your will and purpose. And in coming here and sitting in your presence under the influence of your word, the very spirit of the living God that who foreknew them and predestined them and has called them will continue to unfold and make clear to them how they should go, Father. May it bring such a faith into their hearts that they will not be uncertain. The hour is late. It's a dark time. And how they need to have a stabilizer. Something there, God, could anchor their soul and bring an end of strife in their mind. Even in the face of opposition and ridicule. Even the reproach that goes with your word. And they will not stagger through unbelief in these things. But you will give them a rock confession. A clear revelation. An absolute that they can tie their soul to. For they will need this as a young couple, Father. With a young son. That they will want to raise. In the fear and the admonition of God. Bless this young man, Father. That he will know what it is to be a father, a husband. To be the head of a home. To provide for his family. To have the wisdom of God in his life. To lead them. To submit to you. Know that Christ is the head of every man. And the man is the head of the woman. And this is your divine order. And this is what you laid out, Father, for the family. May dear God, you bring that so real and so clear to his heart today, I pray. And his dear wife, Father, may you reveal to her how to take her place and to fulfill that responsibility. And together as a family circle, you would bless them and provide and supply their every need, that they will be lacking in nothing. And now the little boy, Josiah Tyler, that they brought to you today to be offered up for a life of service. In the name of Jesus Christ, by faith we place him in your great divine presence. Dedicate him unto you for a life of service. And by faith we place him beneath your precious blood. The place of safety. Where we know he's safe and secure. Under your divine watchful care and attention. Where he's safe and secure from all harm and all evil. And we pray you give him a sensitive mind. Sensitive heart. To the things of the spirit of the living God. That he will grow in deep affection to love this name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to come under the influence of his Holy Spirit. And you'll open his little heart to the divine instruction of your truth. And you'll make clear to his parents, Lord, what you have deposited in his life. And they will allow to raise him to fulfill his purpose. Grant it, Father. Bless them all together. And receive little Josiah Tyler as we dedicate him unto you today for a life of service. In the almighty and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Praise his wonderful name. God bless you. May I have your seat for a moment or two. I'd like to acknowledge our precious Brother Ken Adil, who is here with us. Come to do some work in Grenada that they are doing. And come a little early that you can have this little time to be with us and be in service to meet you and to greet you. We've been spending the last couple of days together, and we've known Brother Ken for quite some time. He's 21 years now. He's the husband of one of Brother Biscoe's daughters, the eldest one, Linda. And we even sing some of her songs that she's written here. And it's his first time, Brother Thomas come and preach, Brother Ed, Brother Tony, Brother Rod has been here, and we are certainly happy to have him in our midst today. Amen. So we are very welcome. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. I'd like to ask him to come and greet you. Amen. Maybe he has a few words on his heart to say. I kind of scared him this morning. But I know he is scared proof I believe for that vision, I won't do that sin coming the car. I'm gonna, you have to take the first half of the service. So, God bless you.
Good morning, Saints. It's nice to be here with you today. It's a long-time dream of mine and my wife's. Unfortunately, she's not here with me, but she really, really wishes that she was. So, God bless you. We consider you to be Cloverdale Bible Way South, and we consider ourselves to be Third Exodus Assembly North. So we are glad to be here today. We feel our hearts are knit together with you since Brother Vin first came, and it's actually more like 21 years, maybe 22 years since the first time he came. And we had Brother Leon stay with us. Where's Brother Joseph? Where's Brother Joseph? Is he out here? Brother Joseph stayed with us. My son Wesley, he called him Luther. And he carried him around as a little baby. Wesley's 6'4" now and can carry me around like a little baby. So we're glad to be here. We love the music from here. We love the word. Brother Vin, your pastor, has made a tremendous influence on our people and on our assembly, on my family, on our greater family, and I know that's been his influence around the world. So we thank you for that. I bring you greetings, Brother Vin, from Brother Biscoe and from Brother Tom. And Brother Rod asked that I send his greetings. And last but not least, I bring you greetings from Sister Leslie Ann, who wanted to come too. I told her she couldn't. So God bless you. We are going to be traveling to Grenada, and with the hurricane that happened there, with Men of Vision, we've decided that we would like to do what we can to help the saints there. And Paul said in Galatians 6 and verse 10, "As ye have therefore opportunity, do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith." And that's what we have tried to do and what we are trying to do this time. We will be over there for several days and doing our assessment. And Brother Vin and the different brothers have been over there several times and have broken the ground and have done a lot of the work. But I thought it was important that I come down and see what I could do as well. So pray for us. We'd like it to be. They tell me it's hotter there than it is here. I'm trying to imagine that. But we're glad to be here. I thought maybe if I could just take a moment. Sure. Brother Biscoe gave a testimony that just happened in the last couple of weeks that we got from India. And a brother over there was driving down the road, and he came across a family that was in distress that he knew from his village. And he stopped to see if he could be of assistance. And the father had collapsed, and his wife was there, and some of the children were there, and they got him in the car, and they drove him quickly to the hospital. And he had and they worked on him in the emergency room, but he died. He passed away, and it was a very traumatic thing, of course, for the family. Their father, their husband, was gone. He's not a believing man, and died. And the family left to go and notify the rest of the family. They took his body down to the morgue, and the brother, the believer brother, he stayed with the man's son. And they went down and sat. He didn't want to leave the boy alone. He went down and sat with him in the morgue with the body. And it's a very sad time. The boy was broken up. And the brother is looking at the body, and he noticed in his pocket there was a book in the man's pocket on the corpse. And he reached over and he pulled out the book. And it was one of the books that we had translated in the Telugu language of Brother Branham's, one of his message books. And he couldn't believe it. The man was not a believer. And he handed the book to the boy, or to the son. I don't know how old he was. He may have been a young man. And the son began to read out loud from this message book. Just began to find some comfort. He didn't know. He was reading out loud. And the brother is watching the body. And the body twitched. This has been hours now. Hours. He's been pronounced dead. They've taken him to the morgue. He's laying there on a slab. And the body twitched. And he looked and the boy kept reading. And the hand moved. And then his eyes opened. And the boy looked up and he stopped reading. And the man sat up on the slab and said, "Don't stop reading." God's Word, it's life. It's life to us. And you know, I was that man on the slab. That was me. And one day God's grace came by my way. It was a little stream of grace. I didn't know it was flowing down from Calvary, but it was. And I followed that stream up, and it was in the form of a person. How many here saw grace in a person?
Amen. Hallelujah.
How many people here came or here because they saw grace in somebody's
Amen.
Life?
Yes, sir.
And that's what I saw. I saw the only believer in my school as a young man. And it was Brother Biscoe's daughter. And that was that stream of grace. And I followed that stream of grace to Calvary. Amen. And he saved me in 1973. And that was the best thing that God could give a man.
Amen.
And so to thank her, I married her. And that was the second best thing God could give a man. So she was the whole package. Anyway, God bless you, saints. We love you. We love the ministry and the effect of the word that we see in your lives in the area and around the world. We pray that God will continue to bless you. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the mighty name. My. You can just worship God and go home. You know, the a young boy who is not a believer, with an unbelieving dad, can stand and reiterate the words of a vindicated prophet and raise a dead man. What should an anointed, spirit-filled, Holy Ghost preacher do to a Holy Ghost church? Reiterating the words of the same prophet. How many know rapturing faith in these messages? Hallelujah! Glory be to God. And the grace of God can cause some of that rapturing faith, that perfect faith, that lay that message to quicken that man and bring him to life. Is God prejudiced? Does God discriminate? Is he the same? Would he respond the same way? That boy in his heart, reading that word, and think of the inside of that friend. And I have a friend right here who knows the power in that word that is not in my pocket but in my heart. Amen. That friend saw the word in the man's pocket and pull it out, because that word was laying resurrection power. Amen. Hallelujah. And all it needed was someone to speak it over the man. Hallelujah. and death had to freeze, all right? Glory be to God. Whether he's in human form, word form, spirit form, whatever form he is, he's still the resurrection and the life this morning. Hallelujah. And how much more is that he that believeth in me shall never die. And though he were dead, yet shall he live. Blessed be his wonderful name. God bless you. Come back a little extra crispy. Been burned up in the sun a little bit out there. And if you don't make me out, you make up my voice. But we are very happy to be here with you. I was thinking, I said, my, you know, it's like one service in, one service out. But I'm coming up and I'm saying, like, I have been along the church for a long time. So I'm trusting this morning that I feel good and feel at home again and see the smiling faces. There's a nice atmosphere. We are certainly enjoying ourselves. I know God has been blessing you. I'd like to invite your attention to the word as you stand. I'd like to read out of how many come in the house of God today with a desire to walk a little closer, something more. You didn't just come to the service, you come for something more. You come to say, Lord, speak to me. Lord, I need to hear from you. Lord, I need strength in my life. I'm faced with things. I don't just want to sweep it under the carpet. I don't want to make an excuse for it. I don't want to struggle with it. But Lord, I want power to overcome these things. That it be under my feet. Let's just sing this little song, chorus, before we preach, because that's a little chorus I would like to sing at the end, but I would like to sing it before too. I want to live the way he wants me to live. Amen. You know, sometimes you don't know what living is, or to what extent you can live, until you see Jesus revealed to you. Then when you begin to see Jesus revealed to you, you see how you should walk. You see how you should talk. You see how you should be obedient. You see how you should be willing. You begin to see God unveil. And when you see that, you become affected and you want to go a little further. Sometimes subconsciously you settle down where you are. And because of self-estimation, you say, I'm okay. And you... And kind of comparison, you say, I'm better than a lot of people. I don't do what they do, and I don't do what they do. And you feel a sense of self-justification. But then sometimes you see somebody go a little further. It happened to David one time. He thought he had shown Saul, you know, and Jonathan and some of them love and respect, even though he suffered persecution. But that time when he saw Rizpah staying out day and night, shooing them buzzards of the sacrifice, risking her life to ward off all them wild animals, determined that the land was going to be cleansed. And even though part of that sacrifice was her own children, because the Gibeonites required 7 sons to die to atone for Saul's sin. And the covenant that Saul broke, which Joshua had made with the Gibeonites. And when David saw that, David went and dug up the bones of Saul and Jonathan, who had died so long, to give them even a better burial. Love provokes you. It drives you a little further. Sometimes God knows how to provoke us in places we need to be provoked. Jonathan, you know, was loyal to Israel. But one day when he saw David in the face of all them great mighty soldiers who was hiding and running, put his life on the line instead of thinking of himself and the reputation of Goliath, and he's a warrior since he's small, he's thinking about God's name being brought so low and being reproached. Sometimes we get so taken up with ourselves, our reputations. We get so taken up with, you know, our own security and how we can protect ourselves. We don't realize how selfish we are. Because it is not to someone else who can tell you, you're selfish. And since you're not hearing God's voice saying that, And when Jonathan saw that display of courage and patriotism and self-sacrifice to lift God's name a little higher against the uncircumcised, Jonathan took off his armor and laid at his feet. And the Bible says they were so bonded that their love surpassed even the love of women. The bond that bound them together. If David, who is just a little shadow of a shadow of a shadow of our Lord Jesus Christ, the true beloved, David means beloved, how much more should we lay down our all to our Lord Jesus Christ? I want to live the way He wants me to live. We were singing a while ago, have the preeminence. We're still expressing that same thing. And just slip your hand up and in worship as a prayer. Say, Lord, let me see Jesus. Open my eyes and let me see Jesus. Let me see this Christ that I must behold and be changed into. That I will not cease until I hear you say, this is my beloved son, my beloved daughter, and who I'm well pleased, and who I'm pleased to dwell in. And as you sing it, purpose in your heart. I don't just want to live, I purpose in my heart that I will live the way He wants me to live. I'm going to love till death, just no more. I could never ever outlove my Lord. Oh, sing it again. I'm going to live. I'm going to live. Oh, yes. Blessed be your wonderful name, Lord. We thank you, we praise you today. Oh, how we want to walk close to you, Jesus. Live in your presence. See your very life expressed in trust. Love till the end, just no more love. Genesis chapter 45, verse 1. In chapter 42, we read how the brothers had come down into Egypt when the famine started. That was the first visit. He had put the money back in the sacks and sent them away. He recognized them, but he didn't know him. He spoke roughly with them. Tell them to come as spies to spout the land. After the food was used up, Father told them, go down again. Joseph had kept back Simeon after that first visit. Tell them, make sure and bring the smaller brother. Otherwise, you will not see this one. They were very hard, but the father finally let Benjamin go. Then they came down the second time, and he put his cup in Benjamin's sacks, you know the story. And he was taking them through a real hard time. He was grilling them. He was causing them to get conscious of the sin and the evil and bring up the things in their life that they tried to suppress. Because the hour had come, all these things had to come out of them. And he knew how to deal with them and bring it out to get them to see their own sin. And after they came up and they repented and they saw this is happening to us because of what we did to our brother, they thought he was dead, but now he's going to reveal himself to them. This is a type of the seventh seal, the seventh trumpet. Right here, it's a parallel, you know that. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried. It shook them up to see him crying because this was the governor who had held a brother at first. This was the governor who spoke rough to them and stern. This was the governor who had them interrogated. This was the man they feared and they thought that, you know, we don't want to face this man. But it seems like every time we come here, this man is right in place, you know. And we can't seem to escape him. And they were terrified by him. And now they see this man crying and weeping. And they couldn't understand it. And he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud. He couldn't hold it back no more. He couldn't refrain himself any longer. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, that's pretty loud, because they was living in little small apartments like we live in. And the person next apartment behind the little board partition could hear somebody talking or crying over here. There's the governor's house. And Pharaoh's house could hear that. And all the Egyptians outside. And maybe a few places. This is like from here, maybe way out by the mango tree out the main road out there. Hearing these things. And tell you how much he was sobbing uncontrollably. And the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. That my father yet lives." Look at the things that his mind is possessed with. My father. He had seen his little brother. Because he didn't see him in the first visit, but he had seen him now, Benjamin. But now he hasn't seen his father's yet. That my father yet lived? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. They still trying to come to terms with what is happening here. How could this be Joseph? This man is dead, and how could the governor of Egypt, and this man is Pharaoh's father. You know, he's in charge. All power is in this man's hand to kill or to set free. And there was a man we're afraid of. And he was asking about our father, and he's saying he's Joseph. What is happening here? And they too are in shock. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you. I want you to feel the setting." Joseph, I want you to read the scripture. I want you to visualize the experience here. 13 years he was in Egypt, then came out of prison. Then 7 years had passed of the plenty. Then 2 years the famine had started. That was 9 years. And 13, 22 years. And now he's making himself known to them. And so they're all shocked and terrified. There was young men back there, some of them, now they are much older. He was a young lad that they tap and throw in the pit who couldn't help himself. Now he stands there over all Egypt and all authority in Egypt. He wasn't the same man. You know, you see people, you know, for years, I got a friend who used to be in school. We used to tap up this fella. And then you go in the office for a job and this fella sits in the seat and is watching you. I say, "Oh God, I shan't get a job at all. I just tap up that man." That man will remember them tap for sure. And you're terrified, and you want this job, and the bank want to take your house, and they already take your motor car, and you depend on this job for your life, and you meet the man who's your top up in school. You can imagine what's going on here. Think of what it is. "Come near," and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt." And 22 years flashed like lightning, and this. They all know, yes, he was bound, and the Midianites were opening his mouth to check his teeth. And they're turning him around, and they're stripping him of his clothes to see what he looked like. And he was humiliated, and they were checking the silver to make sure they paid them the exact money whom he sold into Egypt. And they're thinking of the dusty road when the caravans disappear in the distance and went out of sight. But here he is, and the light is in his hands. And they're terrified. I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into. Now, therefore, be not grieved, nor be angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. Jesus. Now, therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. What kind of man is this? For God did send me before you to preserve life. Where their heart is and their mind is, they can't even understand what that means. Because they live all their life in selfishness, in persecuting other people who they don't like, in lying against their parents, in deceiving, in conniving. This is where they live. When you live there, you can't understand these kind of revelations that God sent you before and all your life had a purpose. You can't understand it. Your mind don't think on that level. Because you walk by sight, you don't walk by faith. You're influenced by the temporal things that are seen. You're in the humanistic realm. He's talking in the realm of revelation. They're in the humanistic realm. For these 2 years have the famine been in the land. 7 years of plenty had passed. 2 years of famine have been in the land. Yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be airing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve your posterity in the earth. He's saying, you and all your children already saved, standing here right now. Because I have come, I've made provision, everything is secure, and now I'm going to give you the best place here. You come to buy a little corn, I'm going to bring you and all your family and give you the richest part of the land to dwell. Could you imagine that? And to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. That is what kept him from revenge. That is what kept him from bitterness. That was the inoculation. That was the repellent. The day that was revealed and settled in his heart. They could do him what he wants. He can't absorb that. He can't absorb that. He repels that. He's going to overcome evil with good. So now it was not you that sent me hither. Do you get the money? Do you check it? Do you went and make a big splash? Do each of you buy something with your portion that maybe you still have? This one's still wearing the gold chain. This one's still wearing the gold ring. You know, all these kind of things just make people give up Jesus. Because they want these little things, the shiny things of the world. And they sell Joseph so they could have these nice things. They sell the Savior. They make merchandise. They play politics with him. They manipulate him and exploit him. They get rich off of him. But watch. So now it was not you that sent me here, but God. And he had made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house. And a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. We sell the man for a slave. The man who rule all the land of Egypt is Pharaoh's father. Lord of all his substance. And we only get 20 pieces of silver for this. But that callous mind sometimes could even say, had we known he had all this worth, we'd have bargained and negotiated for a higher price. Sometimes when your heart is callous and dark, you can't see the value of what you have in your hand. People will put aside this spoken word. You heard a testimony this morning in that man's pocket. Let me tell you, if that man didn't receive that word, just trust, he says, I don't want a little religion thing, I was a Hindu or something, put that word in his pocket, he'd have stayed dead in that part of the earth. Had nothing to speak over him. You get what I'm saying? But because God wanted to even show the word. How many know they dropped a dead man on the bones of Elisha and he came back to life? The last message I was preaching was the bones for you. The bones of Joseph. Now watch. And he had made me a furnace for a lot of his house and a lot throughout all the land of the middle. A lot of business wouldn't have a seat. Like that, you turn a little more in the chapter 50 and read a little further. I would like to take a little title this morning, Joseph's Hidden Power. Joseph's Hidden Power. When a man can react so to that kind of persecution and trial, he has a secret. When you can look at a man and discard him for next to nothing like that, you miss seeing something that that man had. You get what I'm saying? He had this. He didn't get this in Egypt. He took this into Egypt to save Egypt. He was born with this deposited inside of him. But these experiences cultivated and developed that which God put in him, because unto that end was he born. God did send me to accomplish this. Oh, how beautiful. For the subject, like we speak on love, faith, and forgiveness. Love, faith, and forgiveness. We are speaking by faith, Joseph. We're going to speak about love, together with faith and forgiveness. All these lessons that we have been learning since the last couple of months, we've been here on Joseph and looking at these things. Genesis 50 verse 15. And this is after now the father had come down in Egypt. You know how it was. He spent 17 years in Egypt and then died. So this is 22 and 17. That's 39 years now. You are reading Genesis chapter 50. Because when Jacob came on Egypt, 130, he died at 147, the Bible tells you. They tell you he spent 17 years in Egypt. Now he died and they take him and buried him. Verse 15, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead. So catch this. 22 years after they had thrown him in the pit and he's forgiven them. 17 years after, now that their father's died and buried, they still, 17 years, have that guilt. You catching that? They are still 17 years having that guilt. That's 39 years since they put him in the pit. And what they did, that injustice, 39 years ago, it is haunting them today still. Here in Genesis 50. What does that tell you? Sin is not removed so easily. Or the memory of it. And even though you are released from the bondage and the condemnation of it, yet the terror and the haunt that Satan wreaks havoc in your mind through the memory, you're still oppressed by it. I want you to think in them places, because that's the place I'm trying to preach. I'm trying to preach in an invisible place. I'm trusting him to give me words to define these invisible things. Because it's a place in our life where we need to be free from. When God releases us, we need no release. When God releases us, we can't go back to him with fear. When God says, I have forgiven you, we can't take his words to mean less. They didn't believe his words that he expressed. And in doing that, it's like, Joseph is saying that to make us feel good, but he didn't really mean that. No, he meant it. Look here, you will see how Joseph, 17 years after they were forgiven, after he revealed himself to them, 39 years after he had put him in the pit, he's still misunderstood and still mistrusted, because they could not believe in the sincerity and the genuineness of his forgiveness. And when Joseph's brethren saw their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us or revenge us or make us pay retribution all the evil which we did unto him. You see, in other words, he only do that while daddy was alive. Because he went to hurt daddy, but he go deal with me now, daddy gone. We in trouble. All 10 of them have this thought. Why? He wept to love. He had all power in his hand. He went there, he was thrown in the pit, he was sold for silver. He was put in the prison. The butler died. The baker died, rather. And the butler was speared. He ascended to the throne of all authority. Every knee had to bow when he passed. He took the Gentile bride. Yet they can't be released. When you see the cruelty of sin, when you see the power of that evil, what it does to the mind, you can understand why it took the blood of God to get rid of it. Nothing less a price could free a man from it. What shall make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fountain, no. A fountain open in the house of David to cleanse us from all sin and unrighteousness. Zechariah 13, that's the very prophecy of Joseph making himself known to his brothers. The real Joseph. Is that right? Under their seventh trumpet, under our seventh seal, haven't we recognized him? Remember, we were part of that church that went away, that fell. Like he fell. Remember, we come back in the last days. We were blind, wretched, naked, and don't know it. Remember when he opened the seven seals? He justified us. He dropped the charges. In this day, when he came as the supreme judge. How do you relate to the message? If you miss these things, you'll be trying each day to wrestle in your mind. But if you recognize these as divine acts of God to his church, the same way he came in flesh and went up Golgotha, the same way he ascended on high, can you see the same way he came back and took the book and loosed the seven seals? Amen! Hallelujah! And then he opened that, he put everything that was against you in the sea of his forgetfulness in the day. And say, you are the sinless, spotless, virtual bride of the Son of the Living God. Amen. The Son of Man himself set you free. He dropped every charge against you. In this hour, go and sin no more. Oh my, loose from everything. If we recognize that was God in the administration of his office of the Son of Man as a prophet, the God prophet, the kinsman coming down, just like he came to Abraham. And coming to Sarah with all her unbelief. But it's going to loose her from that bondage of unbelief. For 24 years she couldn't live free. I will not believe. I can't fulfill this. And God said, you are going to do it. I'll give you power to do it. Amen. And God lifted her up into a place where she could judge him faithful. Is that right? And that womb that barren produced. Think of it. That's God for indeed. These things in the Bible were hidden secrets of redemption spoken for a people who will be living at the end of the age. And we have came, and God himself came down, the Lord himself descended from a shout, ripped the seals off, exposed the mystery, and said, you, that's you in the Bible. You are that one. You are this one over here. You are that church coming to perfection. That's why you're being called out. Amen. This is what we are awakened to. That's why we call ourselves bride. That's why we say we are different. That's why we say we are elect. Why? How could we make such a claim if we didn't see God come down to the generation? This is what we are awakened to. That's why we call ourselves bride. That's why we say we are different. That's why we say we are elect. Why? How could we make such a claim if we didn't see God come down to the generation? If we wasn't certain, that was Almighty God speaking that. That's why he vindicated the word. So you will know it was not the word of a man. Amen. The Lion of the Lord, who can but fear. The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy. Then God vindicated in the skies, on the earth. Is that right? Everywhere God showed it in nature. That this was him. By infallible proofs, proving what we have is the supreme authority of the infallible word. And Joseph brethren saw their father was dead. Look at them now. They say, you will hate this and will quiet us all the evil which you did to him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph. They wouldn't come themselves. They sent a messenger. 17 years they live in. When they get in the corner talking, they say, "You think you forgive us, boy?" Simeon, what do you think? Simeon say, "Boy." He said, "That man look it nice. That man didn't talk to me. Think of it. I was that man, brother. When all they went up there to see my father, that man didn't come and visit me one day." They had me on that kind of house arrest. They restrict my boundary. I seen the man pass and he waving and say, "Hi, see me." Think of it. When people many times live on that low level, brother, God has provided salvation for them. God has made a way for them. But their mind so small and their world so small, they can't see the bigger picture. So they're only counting injustices or what appear to be injustices to them. And they ain't seeing the big evil that they did. And they ain't seeing they deserve no attention and no favor. And they should be glad just to be spared. That he dealt in kindness by not killing them. And I can imagine Naphtali and Asher and them saying, "Bilhah-Chiron, is he here, man?" When man get that kind of power, it's not easy, you know. Because if that was me, and I had that kind of power, and a man do me that, brother, his life in my hand, I make him pay every cent. I make him pay the uttermost farthing. Now, when people's heart is hard and callous, your eyes deceive through your heart. So you view the world and other people the way you are. So because you won't do that, you can't even conceive somebody not doing that. Like Brother Bam tell a story about this young man, you know, he comes in there in the church and the pastor is preaching away, blasting them bobby and pin face, and all them young women in that sexy clothes and what they're doing and how they're going to be charged with committing adultery because they present themselves. And the young man come out behind the church and says, "Preacher, you can say it because you're an old man." He said, "I find that doesn't look so bad as you should. I find it look nice." And the prophet said, he looked at him in the eye and says, "What's your age, sonny?" "You're about 20-something years." He said, "About 15, I believe these things." So I'm preaching this for a young boy. He says, "Son, your eyes deceive through your heart. It looked nice to you because in your heart you desire that kind of thing." So man, as a man, think it in his heart. Well, according to what kind of heart a man has will determine what kind of thoughts he has. How many Bible says the heart is exceedingly wicked? That's why he cannot turn the heart of the children back to the fathers. He cannot give you a new heart and a new spirit and give you a heart transplant. Take on this stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. Because until you get a new heart, you don't have a new thought. The new heart speaks of a new thought. New spirit speaks of a new desire. Is that right? Then God, Holy Spirit, come down in that new thought, that new desire to bring forth the very word. So in that condition, they say, "He will peradventure hate us and will certainly, no, it seems so sure that he's going to do that." Now think, what did he ever do to them? They kick him around. They ridicule him. They throw him in the pit. They slander him. They sell him for money. All these different things. He came down there and he had in charge of all the corn in Egypt. And he still let them buy. He put the money back in the sacks and sent them. He was dealing with them in love, and places where he needed to be stern, he was being stern with them because he wanted them to get conscious of the condition. Yet with enough love to let them know they have favor. You get that? But people like me pampered. You see, chastisement is not that punishment. Because the child's amendment isn't mine. It's to cultivate and to develop that person to be of something. That's why the husband prunes the vine. He busts up that big cluster of fruit and till it down because you want quality fruit on that vine. He didn't hate the tree. And when he busts up them little relationships sometimes, they get too in that cluster and they're too close with this one and too close with this one. And this one getting squeezed between four and this one come out deformed. You ever see a bunch of grapes? And you have something on that bunch, a little out of shape and squeeze up. Because some of the others are where it is. And some of that cluster resting on a branch. And one getting a similar pressure down there. You might see your pressure in school. And you're the little innocent one in the whole group. And you're not supposed to be in that group at all. And they're squeezing you and pushing you and pushing that way. After a while, it's going to become their shape. And then when God has to bust up that thing and thin it out and get rid of some of them from around you, you find that you can't accept God dealing with the situation in that manner because you can't see it is for your own assistance. These men were called to a great calling. They were patriarchs. They were the heads of the tribes of Israel. Levi standing there, who was with Simeon, with instruments of cruelty in the tent, was supposed to come into the priesthood. Judah, who was there with them, and though he tried to save him, yet he went and supported the lie they told their father after the selling. Yet he was going to have the kingship. And they didn't realize the great things they were called on to God. Israel, in God's sight, was to be a holy nation of priests. And was to be the standard in the earth. Out of Egypt have I called my son. To plant him in Canaan. To bring forth good fruit. That Christ himself was going to come into that nation as the son of David. And come out of Judah. And so, they were living in a level where they could not understand the real calling that they were called to. And many of us live the same way because we have not looked deep enough. And we have not examined many times the influence that influences us. And we don't see ourselves in the light of the word to see in what manner we are handling influences that try to manipulate us and control us and deform us into a hideous condition to keep us away and paralyze us from coming to the fulfillment of what God ordained us for. And sometimes we get seduced by the things of the world and what like friends and support and false encouragement. And not realizing that Satan's key many times to hold you back and make you just live on the surface and don't look deep enough and make you forget you are chosen before the foundation of the world. You are predestinated unto the adoption, a placing in God's economy. That you've been gifted even before you come into your mother's womb. God foreordained you to be certain things. That gifts and callings of repentance, you drop from your mother's womb what you are. And God's dealing with you, and God's fellowship with you, was to bring you into this understanding and this realization that he can be your friend and your companion through life journey. Walking with you down through life journey, telling you, you know what you are? You are going to be this in my kingdom. And that's why I'm letting you go through that here. You need to go through that. And I couldn't tell you last week what it was going through because it wasn't time yet. Because I wanted to see how you respond to this. I want you to discover it in your own life. Because when you discover it in your own life, you begin to have more faith than what's inside of you. When you see it come out automatic, you know there's something inside of you. And you will learn to relate and be sensitive to that because I designed you different. That's why many of us miss this in life. Yes, possibly miss this. Wrong teaching veil you from it many times. Put you away there and make you a church member and join a church and go through a ritual of a church service. Give you a false consent. And your life is powerless. But this God who said, no, you're not, you are the temple of the living God. What house will you build me? He didn't build his house with seven church ages. Upon this rock, I will build my church. He didn't build a house not to live in it. He didn't get a wise master to build a little foundation. He didn't get one like Zerubbabel to bring back the headstone and shout at this, not to live in it. He built a house to live in it. You are lively stones. Bring up a spiritual house, a habitation for the Spirit. I will dwell in you and walk in you, said the Almighty. I'll be your God and you shall be my people. Is that what he promised? Other than that, you're looking for denominational power. Denominational power is religious political power. That kind you get by vote and politicking in the church. But God's power comes by a new birth and the training of the Holy Spirit that brings you to a surrendered life before God and make you a prisoner bound in the chains of the word. Oh my! Joseph had hidden power. And he understood how the vine dresser was cultivating the vine. And how that power was growing in his life to come into a place. Amen. Where that power can be displayed and demonstrated. And to show the kind of character. Amen. That he had to use that power for the glory of God. That he became the very type and representation of Christ. He closed up the book of Genesis, the seed chapter of the Bible. His life from chapter 37 to 50 shows the pathway of suffering to come into glorification. How every son is going to come through that pathway. We're coming to a place where he's placed positionally with authority. Has the character because Joseph represented perfection. The fruitful border was planted by the well. Who are both strong. And when the archer shot at him. Amen. How the God of Israel made him strong. How he bore that persecution. We know it's not Jewish history. We are convinced of that. Because the book is open. We see his harvest time. He was the right sheaf. The church is the right sheaf in the last days. We see the rainbow coat. Type of the spirit for the church. That's the church in the last days. The one that's hated and rejected. That's the spirit for the church. He suffered persecution for his revelation. His revelations was revealing future glory. What is these seven thunders? Wait until these seven thunders of the voice of the group. It'll show them how to do what? Prepare for translation faith. These vile old mad bodies will be changed. Is this such a promise in the last days? That the body will be changed? This mortal will put on immortality? This corruption will put on incorruption? Is this will be a message coming shouting the grace to the church a double portion in the last days? Is Paul saying should be a glorious church without spot or wrinkle in the last days? Are we in the last days? Had the last message come? Did the last messenger sung? Is the mystery finished? Is the heart been turned literally back to the faith of the fathers? Is the church been ripened and coming to a ripened faith laying in the presence of the Son? That's the secret of Joseph's life. Became a prisoner before he came into power. Is that right? Carried this great revelation that the mystery of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob was unfolding in his own life. Is that right? Do you know what started in Paul and Uranus and Mark and Columba? What went on the ground coming in Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost? And Malachi 4 is continuing you. You know that? You know what's going on inside of you this morning? That the continuation of that eternal life is inside of you. Then, friends, in that hour, there is forgiveness. He stood there with perfect love. He stood with perfect love and could forgive. That's the man whose bones, that's the man who carried that revelation of the resurrection inside him. That's the adopted son that was placed. Think of it, friends. That one who was tried and proven, tested before the promise. That one who saw the vision on the expectation for the fulfillment of the vision and then saw himself in the vision. The things God was teaching him, he came to the stage where it was no longer teaching. It was actual in his experience. When he's telling them the visions, nobody is born before him. But in Egypt, he's not no longer looking for the vision to come. The appointed time had come and he was in the vision. And they were bowing and didn't even know they were bowing, fulfilling the vision. Is that right? Where is that elected church and this all walking? Where are these sons of God in the last days? Where is this bride that's come out from an organization that God couldn't find a theologian? He had a four-day prophet with the angel of the Lord standing in a pillar of fire to vindicate that world. To separate them. Why? Because their calling is too important. Is that right? That by and to the members of the bride, he will finish the work. This is the secret. The word is in the bride as it was in Mary. Something in their life, a hidden power. David said, I would have I hid in my heart that I will not sin against thee. Did Joseph hide that word in his heart? Did he hold that word and walk that word? Was he tried by the word? Did he wait until the appointed time of that word come? Did he see that word coming to pass? Was he standing speaking out of that vision, anointed with the influence of that revelation that for years he held it and not it materialized? He had the preacher was him, that was in symbol form, even before it happened. Remember, he was interpreting that. He didn't see the 11 brothers, he saw sheaves. He saw stars. You reading that Bible, you see Rebecca, you know that's you? You reading that Bible, you see Ruth, you know that's you? That's a symbol form of the bride. But the vision coming to you when the seals open, that there's a bride and they're represented not the born woman church, the free woman church, the elected church. The one that chose that evening time by Eliezer. Is that right? The one that Elohim came and turned his back to the tent and discerned their heart, who is outside of Sodom, like Sarah. Is that right? Like Rahab with a token in the window when the iniquity of the Amorites is full in the land. Are you living in that time? Are you living at evening time when Rebecca got married? Are you living at harvest time when Ruth get married? Are you living in the time when the Jews went back in the homeland? Amen. Between Nehemiah and Job, the resurrection, when Esther was married. Are you living in that time? Then are you catching and do you believe? And have you fellowship with deeply enough to become convinced and fully persuaded? And it's no longer that learning that you rattle off, but the substance on the inside. Faith is the substance. The word becomes spirit and life. The drama is real. Do you know that's you? If not, you're trying to work with a power that can't bring the word to pass. You're trying to win an outside power somewhere. That's a hidden power. It's transforming power on the inside of the seed, changing it to become the species ordained to become. That whole oak tree was in the acorn. Is that right? The whole book of Acts is in the gene inside of you. All of Jesus is in that gene inside of you. That little spoonful of water from the ocean of all the chemicals, the whole ocean have inside it. Do you know that? That's why the devil has been in the battleground so much. Dropping bombs left and right. Trying to bombard you. Like what the Americans do in Iraq. Day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night. Just dropping them bombs in the battleground. They targeted it. They know where the battleground was. They wasn't bombing Syria. They wasn't bombing Iran. They knew the battleground. Is that right? They know where to drop the bomb. They are targeted. You know where the battleground is? The mind. The mind. You will not know that had not God sent a prophet to reveal that to you. But I tell you, that's the battleground in the mind. Why? Decisions are made in the mind. You have to choose or reject. Is that right? The tree of life and the tree of knowledge confronts you. Michael and Lucifer, the battlegrounds of your mind. You're going to worship one or the other. You're going to make your allegiance one or the other. Satan has no power, but how could he be so strong in the battle? And he has no power and he lost all power. You see, you are wired for a lot of things. But the spirit is moving. He has no power. All his wires have been pulled out. What do you have is knowledge. What do you have is scheme. What do you have is guile and deceit. So he gets into your house. And he uses your system to get what he wants done. You could sing, he gets into your house. And he uses all the wiring God put you for singing. But you have some little talent that God gives you, he get there and use that. Anything you have, he comes in, the enemy creeps in, coming unawares, penetrate the defenses, throw your alarm off. You're no longer sensitive that the enemy has come within. He's in the house. Oh my, you have good athletic skills that God give you, build up a certain way. He comes in the air. And he begins to manipulate that. You ever see him get a man with two left foot and cross-eyed to become a big football star? No, sir. You ever see him get some brother girl with no teeth in his mouth and one eye to win a beauty contest? He comes and use what you have. He tried to divert it into his channel. He has no power, friend. He uses what you have. You become his power source. You become the potentials that he gets in his hands. You become his chemistry lab. He rearranges the molecules of your life. He gives you a new image, a new identity. He shows you a new future. He show you the one you have a dull. He show you one that is exciting. He show you one that is more accepted by the world and the public. But you have to have a revelation. No, I'm not sent to be part of that world. Amen. I'm born for another calling. I have another future. Amen. When this world is no more. Because whichever world you conform to is which world you're going to reflect. And which world you're reflecting, that world is going to pass away. You're going to pass away with it. How many know in the days of Noah, when that world passed away, all the daughters of men pass away? How many know when Sodom passed away, Lot's wife passed away with that world? Because she was reflecting that world. How many know all the young men reflecting this Satan's in this world is going to pass away when the atomic bomb turns into ashes? But how many know Sarah couldn't pass away when that Sodom passed away? Amen. But her old age passed away. Her barrenness passed away because holy fire came down and raised up into another place. And she continued on long after Sodom was over. Is that right? That's why Noah could look and see that world was passing away. It was a mark for judgment. And he saw the mystery open up to take him above the old world and bring him back in the new world. That he wasn't going to be caught in that science civilization when it blows. Can't you see? You are sitting here this morning. Life and death is before you. You are sitting there and you are watching and staring into that world. And that's light from heaven that angels brought from eternity to reveal Jesus and his program for this hour. The end of time seal and a total secret. Like when Moses came to Israel and they're just whispering it in soft tones. Death is going to pass through at midnight. Get under the blood. Instructions. Nobody will come up. Eat your bread in haste. Have your lunch good. Your stuff in your hand. In the time of Sodom, that angel coming to Abraham, according to the time of life, I'll return. In the days of Noah, he said, next 7 days, rain is going to come, and God shut the door. You get what was happening? When Jesus rose from the grave, he came out there and says, not many days from now, you shall be endured powerful and high and shall be witness of me. Not to the whole world, not to the 5,000, the 7,000, all that time had passed. That big time for protracted meetings was gone. You were dealing with the elected ones. He was opening the secret to them. Do you understand, friends? You are in that same hour. History is repeating itself. That's why you have to, when you look here, you don't see TEDx Assembly, you don't see Londonville, you see the word that's opening and an entrance being ministered to you and it taking your soul up into a plane that you begin to see who your brother and your sister is. They are separated. They are called out. They are chosen. Why? Because that heavenly angel descended to the earthly angel and the earthly angel sounded that mystery and that heavenly angel lifted his hand and said, time shall be no more. He that is filthy shall be filthy still. And God is telling you, yes, some hidden power. You're looking for the change. When the change comes, what's going to happen? I understand something is going to take place great in this hour. God is saying, it's already in you. It was always in you. I am the God of foreknowledge. I do have to come in and put it after that, put it in there. But I'll let you discover it when you have reason to see it. And if you understand how I've been dealing with you, you will understand how I've been bringing you into it. Don't get mixed up with me and denomination. That's a man-made system. They have a religious plan. That's Satan business where you want to bring in heaven. That's why I had to kick him out. But my thing is to be individual. I build upon this rock, I'll build my church. It's a rock confession. The revelation is only for the Father's spiritual genes. Hallelujah! The one shall be taken and the other shall remain. The one, the elected one, the predestined one, the one with the oil shall be taken. The one whose name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. The one that is redeemable. The one that can be born again. Like Abraham, a shepherd from Lot. Like Israel, a shepherd from Egypt. Like Noah, separate from the world. So I am separating you. You are different. I'm trying to get you still, he's saying. I'm trying to take you to some places. That's why I put Joseph in prison. You have to discover it's not outside power to get him out of here. It's inside power. He's looking for the butler to put in a good word in Pharaoh court. See? But God did send him before. And God is the author and the finisher. And God had his own way to bring him out. But before you wait and understand God way being revealed, he trying to anticipate the plan and get ahead of the plan and start to work with a man-made connection to bring that part to pass. You get what I'm saying? So then it'll be Pharaoh all the time. I'll bring you out. I'm going to put you back in, you know. Misbehave yourself. No, he said, when you came looking for me, all Egypt was at death's door. And you know I was laying here in this prison with this gift. And this is the only savior in your nation. So you was asking me if I would oblige you. And you and all your senators, God let me teach you wisdom and bring you to your knees. That's why God worked in that way. He could tell the brothers. In other words, he said, can't you see? You tried to kill me. The woman tried to throw me in prison. Satan make the butler forget me so I could die and rot inside of here. But can't you see none of these things can harm me? God had a bond on everyone. Can't you see every segment of my life was unto the end? He revealing the vision. In other words, can't you see all these things are bringing to a glorified body? That's your glorification. Not a chain about your neck and the second chariot. Your chariot is faster than the speed of thought. Your chariot of fire. Amen. Theophany. Your robe. Isn't that a nice robe to dress you up in? Your shaving. Think on the presence of the king. It's not some Gillette, you know, track, you know, power shave and these things. Isn't that? God shave in Hebrews 4:12. He shave you. Shave off your self-will. Shave you inside and outside. Let's go a little deeper. Let's get our hearts. Let's get our thoughts a little deeper in our life. Let's not take our life as a Trinidadian life. When God talks about life, God have book of life and lamb book of life. Two sections of the same book, old birth and new birth. Man does talk a different kind of life, but there's life. I live in my life. God only have two sections for life. Redeemable and not redeemable. Relationship and ownership. You get what I'm saying? So when you think about life, now that your thinking has been filtered, you can't do, well, I want to live my life. Your life, you got it by your first birth. You want to live that? You're born in this shape, you come to the freaking life. You're born trapped with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and you can't come out there. It's a new birth takes a man out of here. And that new birth is God's own life. That's God's own life. That's not your life, though. So to live your life, at the end of it is death and the grave and judgment. To live God's life, this is the thing. You will not come into condemnation, but you pass from death unto life. He that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me will not come into condemnation, but have passed from death unto life. You bypass that. There is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, after the course of this world, after the vanity of the mind, after the pride of life and the lust of the flesh, but who walk before God and be perfect, who walk in the light and have fellowship with God, who see the cleansing power of the blood, who know what to say, Abba Father, Abba Father, Daddy, Papa, I love you. Papa God, I love you. Papa God, my soul rejoice. I do, I belong to you. I was in your loins. Amen. I have your very DNA. I have your characteristic. You opened to me the divine heredity in this book of life here. And show me my pedigree all the way back to where you wasn't even God when you was Elohim back there. Oh my. You decode my genetic script for me and you introduce me to myself. I was trying to be conformed after this cosmos, but now I'm transformed by union power because you open up to me the mystery of my life in this Bible. And for the past couple of months, every day you've been speaking to me, prisoners first, then vindicated and patience. Behold, the dream of cometh. Amen. The age of adoption, example of suffering, affliction, and patience, tested and tried before the promise. But Joseph, the overcomer, Joseph, a fruitful bough, that is by the well. By faith, Joseph, who can look beyond this life. And Joseph, hidden power that moves him, that make him master every circumstance, that he can hold grudges, that he have a repellent of fear. He have no malice and no bitterness. Amen. He don't behave himself unseemly. He thinketh no evil. He not get exploited and manipulated. He know God sent him before. He know God sent him in the second fold. He know God sent him and the Father sent me. So send I you. And how did God send him? God went and down. Have not I sent you? Oh my. Hidden power. He discovered, like the word of Zarephath, his hidden resources, his divine potential, his untapped resources. God made him dig deep into his own life and see the potter had designed him. He was designed by the skillful hands of the potter, prepared unto every good work in this hour. Chosen vessel to bear his name. You carrying it in you this morning? He have you lick if he could blind you from that. If he only make you feel like a teaching, you're finished. He make you a theological student in a seminary. If it's just something to learn and rehearse, brother, he changed from an eagle to a parrot. Amen! Oh my. But he don't care how small you are. Because not your age, where he put in you. Because your body, on the body level, we young and old. On the soul level, all of us the same age. Because your soul is eternal life. And there's only one form of eternal life, God's own life. And that's the only way you are part of the bride, if you have that gene of eternal life in you. So on the soul level, we all have divine potential. And God didn't put something that is going to take, your young mind can't understand it. Because he was catching it when he's young. He was the 11th son. He had 10 before him who can catch what he was catching. And the father put that little 11th one over the first 10. Is that right? You are not this body. This is not you. That's to deceive the devil. That's a mask. God masks eternal life in you. You see the same way Jesus come a baby? God come a baby and grew up. But the same way God come a seed inside of you. But that God seed in you is a big oak tree that he put down inside of you. In this dirt. This is the only dirt that God planted that seed in. This can't get no witness for God. But this is dirt that seed needs to grow in this life. Because the witness it must give is the world that this dirt come from. In that sphere. And that's how he contacts this world. And he gives his witness through you. So you shall realize that God is inside of you. This is a secret. This is a secret. You know your blood? You know blood inside of you? You feel, you see it, you smell it, you feel it. You get cut, it exposes it. Is that right? But you accept by faith your blood inside of you. Do you never, some of you never bleed yet. And that's the carrier of life. And that has all the potential and a record all the way back to Adam. You know that? Because the first human body come from the earth. And this is it. And this will trace you 6,000 years back into the earth. Think of it! But then if that blood under a microscope has a genetic code to decipher, to reveal an heredity, to show you all who was connected to that life and what you inherit by birth, then that soul inside there, that's the spiritual seed. Because this blood comes from a seed. You know that? The blood cell, the hemoglobin is in the blood cell. And that's in the male sperm. That's a natural father seed. But in the spiritual father, that spiritual life that comes down to the patriarchs and the prophets and the apostles and the reformers back in the Malachi 4 and back here in the last days in a super race on the earth. And the same natural scientists put that under a vision. A powerful, I think that amplifies vision. It gives power to sight. Microscopic power that man can see. When the eye receives that kind of power to have that kind of vision through the aid of that microscope. When that prophetic vision come upon the bride, that anointing come upon the bride to give us prophetic insight. To see all the way back, amplify that sight. And they begin to tell you, you had a father who was a great general in battle. We can even look in the book at the family album and find his name. Because the kind of characteristics in you, this fella, he could stop son. This fella could play his people positionally. This fella is a thinker at a certain level. You know you're born for a purpose and you're birth tied to your position. He's a thinking that kind of way. You see, I was reading that the other day about Joshua. Could he be my family? They say, you think you're a young girl. You think you're nobody. You think because the first part of your life, you're poor and you're a kind of born child. And now they're calling you queen and queen and queen. But you suddenly discover a kind of faith in you. You're willing to die for your own people. You're willing to put your life in jeopardy. I hear you say, you're ready for perish or perish. And you come out to you spontaneous. Is there your family who should behave so? They say, according to this DNA, we could trace that and we could decode this. And we could go back in the book of life and see if there's some representation of that kind of life in this lineage. They say, we're finding something in between Nehemiah and Job. In between the Jews going back in the homeland and before the resurrection, we find something inside there. And 1946, the Jews are back in the homeland and the resurrection is happening. And now it's 2004. So between 40 and 2004, there's some people on the earth who have that genetic script inside of them. He said, you have hidden resources. You have hidden potential. You have hidden power inside of you. You're trying to learn to live through education. And you're getting out your provided way. You're getting in the man way, a way that seems right. And you're trying to live through education and science. But the world that you were born for is not that kind of world. They're trying to make you an amphibian and take you out of the water and put you on land. But really, you're born for the water. You're designed to live in a world of perfect faith. Not in Satan Eden. Hallelujah! Glory be to God in the highest. Is that kind of potential you have? Amen. You're born different. Something inside you. He says, we see something inside of you. A little selfishness, but beneath that selfishness is some potential. And the only way to get that potential is to cut through that selfishness. It's got that selfishness in a kind of weak life inherited through hybridization that ain't get cut away. But we see Elijah come and cut that away from a woman in the days when Ahab and Jezebel come together before the third war. Amen! There's something like that in the genetic record. We can go back there and trace that pedigree and find something inside of there. It said we realize that when we look at you under this vision, at this microscope, beyond what denominational sight could see, what theology can see, we get down there and we realize you might look like an ordinary trained guardian on top. Our poor little widow is Zarephath. But Zarephath in the place where we're finding metals. That's where the gold is go through the fire and get purified. The fire is only get rid of the dross, but the fire is bring the gold pure. You get that? The fire can't destroy that gold. The fire only purify the gold. You have something inside to stand the trial. But that's what covering you down, telling you you can't stand and you'll break under pressure and be selfish and don't take on them people that want to control your life. But because of who you are, and where that man's speaking from, his gene and your gene come from the same source. And he done discover his potential, but he sent to awaken you like Mama Eagle came to wake up the other eagle, who was an eagle but didn't know it was an eagle. Who went to fly now, but said, me and my son. He said, lady, you and that boy can fly. How about among them chickens, you can fly. You better fly or die. Amen. But as she began to move up in that realm, he said, bake me a cake first. But as she says, I know how to mix meal and oil. I've done that for years. He said, it had to be brought to the fire. She said, I know how to light a good fire. I know how to get two sticks together and bring a mystery to the cross and take my meal and my oil and bring it to self-sacrifice. He said, then you watch famine and death flee from you. Because you get your hand on your hidden resources. You have something inside of you that's locked up there all the time. But God in this hour ordained that to cultivate it and bring it out. Don't see your life no other way. The day you see your life another way, you're in trouble. You'll try to be like somebody else. The fashions of the world, the trends of the modern age will keep your head swimming. You'll be going from pillar to post with no rest. But you know what God wants to do? God wants to bring you down to a place to tie you to let you see where you are. These fellas, they can understand that kind of love. In that hour, this man had that love in him. That love was cultivated. This man lived in God's provided way. He lived in a certain channel that grew him to perfection. How many of the brides can come to perfection? How many church must come to perfection before the resurrection? She must come to that full maturity. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. You have to grow into the stature of a perfect man. Stature of the measure of the fullness of Christ. Is that right? Then if that's so, then you have to be cultivated. The one who plants you is going to cultivate you. He's going to bring you because your fruit. And the Bible says, Luke 8, the parable of the sower and the seed, these did not bring forth fruit unto perfection. See? With patience. But here it is. God called you to bring forth that fruit in this hour. You believe you have it inside of you? Then if you know you have it, and you begin to understand how to come into the discovery of it, what laws to work by. You know, a man who's drilling for oil must understand how to get to the oil. You know, a man who wants to build one of them big hydroelectric thing there to get power from a river and dam up the water. You know, you have to know the laws of that to get that working. Everything is, how many know everything is governed by a law? Then to discover that and to work with it, it's a law to come into it. And God can speak your mind and your soul into that place. And that's what teaching does. Teaching what? Places the believer positionally. Revealing to him what God has made him. And then teach him how to rely upon that. That he remain tied. That though the ship is tossed through trials, something anchors him. Something keeps holding me every day I see. Guiding me constantly, giving me victory. He's a reality. Something keeps holding me. Quickly, before we get cooked here, well done. Let's try to move quickly. Joseph had that word hidden in his heart. He had a hidden power. There's a secret, that word is in the bride too. A word that revealed him the plan for his age. A word that he was to fulfill part of the word for his age. A vision that taught him his place and how to come into that place. Is that right? And he grew in that channel without hate. God knew from stage to stage how to keep that spirit humble, how to break that self-will, how to teach him confinement, how to bring discipline into the life. But he was becoming a fruitful boy. Because the important thing is where he was planted by the well. He had a source. He had a source. He had a hidden power. He had a hidden power that energized him. Do you have a hidden power in your life? What moves you, my brother, my sister? What drives you? Where do you get your passion from? A passion to know the word. A cry for reaching out in the spirit. A fervent desire to please God. What power is that? What intensifies that passion in your life? Or is there nothing? Or you don't have no passion? Let me tell you, if you have passion for something in the world, you have passion for some young man, you have passion for some young woman, you have passion for some position in the world, you have passion for some earthly glory, it takes something to stimulate that. It takes something to communicate that to you. It takes something to hold you under the control of that thing. It takes something to bind you to that, to make you sacrifice for it, to see it become a reality. You just can't even walk into that natural thing the same way. Well, the same way, if you can sacrifice for that, why does a man get up and run 3 o'clock in the morning, day and night, preparing for Olympics next 4 years? Why does a man who make 5 runs and get bowled, and the first time he make one, and the time before he make duck. Why does he go and 1 o'clock in the morning in bright lights, he have a machine bowling to him, and he playing that ball, he batting about 200 of them same balls. Why? He have a goal in mind. He's not going to be sitting on the bench. He want to be on the field. He want to walk with that flannels. He want to stand there as part. He don't want to go out with a tray of water. Just then, day after day, that's what he do. He just hanging around the players and can't make the team. No, you want to be part of the team. You're not going to be settled until you see in the team. Is that right? When you see them put the team on the board, they don't put 12 man, 16 man, and the touring part. Every time you want them come, they in the touring party. Your name never appear on the board. Come here, number 4, number 5, opening the events. You never stand in the middle and raise your bat and see give a stand ovation with your 100. They stand say they carried the water 100 times in the last 50 matches. You don't want that kind of place. Especially when you believe you have the potential. Is that right? Well, if they could fix their eye on the prize and they could set goals and standards and they could get focused into something and they could strive lawfully to achieve that and they could bring their body into discipline and their mind into focus. Because that they put a value on that. Then if that law will work in the negative, won't that law work in the positive? You think a man who's doing it spiritually, he don't see something, he don't comment it, he don't put a value upon it, it'll mean more than life to him, and he must have that, and he rather die, try to get that, than live without that? That's right. But when you sometimes you see that life and you say, that word hard, how God can live that? No. It don't come from outside. You have that inside of you. But there is something trying to make you doubt what you have. There's something trying to tell you you don't have that inside of you. The guy will tell you, you have blood inside of you, but you don't see the bleed. He cut you open. And what do you think? He saw the word and cut your heart open and take your gene out and say, identify Bible experience. And say, I just go through that. You're seeing your spiritual blood. You're bleeding. And God showing you have lies. You're connected. God proven to you. You have that potential inside of you. Joseph had a hidden power in his life. My. Let me finish reading this. You still have the Bible open there? Okay. What time we have? Time to close. I'll finish reading and close. So shall you say unto Joseph. Verse 17. Telling the messenger. Forgive. I pray now. The trespass thy brethren. And your sin. He had settled that 17 years ago. And never even carried for 22 years. But they're living in a world. Now this is what people have to bear when they do people evil. Now get me. I want to bring a thought here and close. Because I think we struck our hidden power good enough. If you have some light, you can see that. Now watch. I want you to know this morning and recognize what your real enemy is. What is it that paralyzes your faith? There's a value and a price to keep malice inside of you. Prepare that your faith can operate if you want to live with malice. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Prepare that if you can't forgive people and you rather have somebody in your condemnation than in your forgiveness and you have them locked up in your prison, that you can never come into the love of God and you can never come into faith. Because faith works by love. And if you have faith to move mountains and don't have love, it's nothing. That's where I'm going. Look at Joseph here. Look where their mind was. And their mind was only that condition because it was not an accident. They had planned this. When people sit down and premeditate something, and they deliberate over it. And they plan a course of action to execute it. And they are doing it that way to ensure they get certain results. Like how those brothers plan. Hold him in that pit by the time. What's going to be the story? We have to tell Daddy a story. Come with the story. What story will convince Daddy? Once they kill a kid, put the coat in the blood. Tell him a lie and take it. Take it a little bit. Say, good, that's some good. Convincing enough. No witnesses around? Check. See anybody hiding behind no hill or no tree? Check every tree around here. Okay, good. We kind of free. And they're planning this thing. Now, to get the air, that kind of seed can't drop soil. That is not to a circumstance and you react, you know. That is sitting down there and deliberating and taking counsel. You get what I'm saying? This is not another life. This is a life that is conceiving. Because a man is not made up to hate. A man is not made up to lie. When God made a man, he was not supposed to tell a lie. That's why a lie disrupts the whole human body. And a lie detector will prove that man is lying because it's coming of the subconscious. And don't try to tell it innocent. It's not adultery that caused the fall in the garden, you know. Adultery was the result of the lie. You shall not surely die. That was it right there. And don't try to tell it innocent. It's not adultery that caused the fall in the garden, you know. Adultery was the result of the lie. You shall not surely die. That was it right there. That broke the unity. What caused the fall in heaven? The tale he told. You get me? Now watch them, what they are doing here. And that's why, to get rid of that, and for people who carry grudges for long, I'll show you. Oh God, I want to show you. But I don't know what's in the time. How am I going to show you that? These things bring cancers and tumors and growths in people. Because you see, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's why the act of adultery and going to false union and going with the beast into bestiality and strange flesh in the beginning, it brought polygamy. Polygamy is not a law or covenant, you know. Polygamy was a condition that came as a result of the fall. It exploded in nature and threw it into chaos. It went out of control. And that's why today, man and wife and deputy and second deputy and third deputy and woman is a smart duck and she has one paying, buying she groceries, one renting the apartment, one paying for the car, one doing this, and that's what's going on. And the world is in that condition. Because that was the beginning, the sowing time, this is the harvest time. That's why the whole world got under control. That's why God has to come out. That's why them churches, them denominations, look at the kind of filthiness. Because a church is a woman. And that's why they went away from the husband's seed and they took the seed of man from seminary. And look at the kind of children come out of the church womb. Rebellious to the word. In the spiritual form of it. You getting that? Why? They took life and put it in the wrong channel. And when you take life out of its original channel, it becomes death. Life was made and meant to live in a certain line. It doesn't have I live my life and you live your life. You don't have that. There's only one way provided by God. There's only one way for a man to live his life. This is the result of sin in the life. These are the things that paralyze people's faith. And the power of God looking for is nobody looking for outside power. And they want outside power to come down on sin. Unconfessed sins sometimes. Weaknesses. Grudges and malices. And even though forgiveness is preached, and shouldn't the great Joseph who come down this day, the mighty Joseph unveiled before us. The unveiling of Joseph, take the seals of himself and say, I am Joseph. And the Pentecostals, Methodist, Baptist, Jehovah's Witness realize, oh my goodness, and we rejected you and these things, and we couldn't receive this vision that you were telling. See? And now what to do? It unites with the Roman Catholic power. And when you reject this message, Jesus Christ, the real Joseph being revealed, they have to take the man of sin, Satan incarnate. had no middle ground. They have to take that. What shall you do with what? This Jesus called Christ. Have no with the gate of your hand. And that's the age, and that's the individual, and that's the church. Same principle. It's a way to live your life. Where there's power, and there's victory, and there's joy, and there's peace, and there's union, and there's leadership, and there's fellowship, and there's relationship. Outside of that, you are trying to grow this hidden power locked up in that seed of that spiritual gene in a swamp. It can't grow in a swamp. A swamp is not the bedding ground for that kind of thing. These have to fall in the bedding ground of faith. Oh my. You catch it? You understand it? Praise God. Who is Joseph? I mean, all the series that this has been preaching for the last 2 months. Who is Joseph? Who have been saying Joseph is? You, the last day bride. Last day bride. I'm talking about Joseph hidden power. Joseph the overcomer. Joseph tried and tested before the promise. Joseph in the adoption age. Joseph an example of suffering, affliction, and patience. That you saw the end of Joseph. You saw the suffering of Joseph, and you saw the end of the Lord. Joseph the dreamer. Joseph the prisoner who came into power. I'm talking about something in your life. I'm trying to cultivate this. I'm trying to get that nourishment there and say, have you fellowship with this part of yourself? I've been thinking about this here. Now you think of it close. Has anybody ever do you some mischief and hurt your feelings real bad? Have you ever found somebody lying to you and trying to convince you that they're truthful to you, and then your father is really lying and then further trying to deceive you after they had done too much injustice to you before? And then after you see the reason and the motive sometimes for it, and it's so carnal that you kind of realize the kind of value they put in your friendship and your relationship that could influence them to do such a thing. And then sometimes you get in a place and say, I can't do that person no more, you know. I want nothing to do with them no more. Then you know Joseph here, and they lie on him. They beat him up. They humiliate him. They ridicule him. They persecute him. They conspire against him. They trim him up. They treat him evil. All with intent, unprovoked. And this man now has them here, every one of them, in his hand. And all he's interested in saying, he's standing there and he has under the influence of a revelation that telling him, Joseph, that was the way you had to pass to get this. And when he sees that, he can't see what they did to him. He sees that was only to fulfill God's purpose. And he realized, as long as you let God's purpose govern this, that grounds off and destroys the power that malice and enmity and revenge and all these things. And when people even try to can't free their own self, you are going to try to free the criminals. And say, it's okay, I have nothing against you, man. That's okay. You know. And they still believe, but you flesh and blood like we were going on here. How you can take that and smile and say, it's God. We don't see God so. Will you get a revelation of God? Then you can accept all things work together for good. Now, how much of us quote all things work together for good? But as that them things come, that the buck stops right there. But he had something. Do you believe the Bible telling a lie? How many believe that is God's word? How many that God can't lie with that? That's inspired word of God. How many believe that's a mystery of you? When you don't live there, you're rubbing yourself short. When you fail to walk there, you're making yourself one of the brothers.
them up in the pit. You're gonna better look for your revenge. You can lie and deceive to others concerning them. But if you see that, that's me. When I wave in the forgiveness, Joe's not a wave back. When I wave in the revelation, when people do me evil, I could see God intended purpose, and I needed that. And they were just the knife inflicting some cutting on me, but that knife was held in the hand of the vine dresser because they couldn't do me anything if God didn't want me. And they had to get me in a certain place so my branch could become fruitful and go over the wall and even take care of others outside this economy. And though the archer shot at me, God didn't leave me to just take shots. He put me in a place where I could abode strong. And isn't that the perfect church in this hour? And he began to come into the mystery of, no man take my life. I lay down my life. Because as the Midianites come, he could say, the history says, when they come to him and they look at this boy, refined, well-cultured, so educated, well-learned, gifted, atmosphere, personality. Because remember, you could be in a piece of bag, not a three-piece suit, and you have that atmosphere, that spirit in your life. Time you open your mouth and your mannerism, you start to talk and carry yourself, did they see Prince right away? No? Why did they want to buy the African king's son? Not knowing they're king's son. They see in something standing out. In their mind, I slave. But in that boy's mind, he no slave. No. I'm in a strange country. Maybe they don't treat people good in this country. Maybe in my country, I'd walk and be honored in my fatherland. But in this land here, they have me chained and I get in a whip. Where I have to treat people in this country here. He said, but that don't have, they can maybe rub me, I'm trying to rub me help, but they can't take my dignity from me. David said they can rub me my coat, but they can't rub me my character. They can't rub me on my dignity. I refuse. I would not abase myself. I would not carry myself and get on bad. I wouldn't plan revenge. He's always studying the father's name. They said, but this boy looks like no slave. Or he looked like more slave than this boy. Because he was the overseer. He said, but this boy no languages. But this boy is an inspired boy. But this boy looked like well protected and cared and well groomed. So what's going on here? All the kidnapped his father? He said, no, I'm a slave. He didn't want to expose them. Because they take him back to his father, they're in trouble. But they let him dumb before you, dumb before his sharers. He opened not his mouth. How many know it's a mystery of Christ? How many know Moses, when God going to kill them, Moses trips up and God said, Lord, take me instead. With their bad behavior, God said, Moses, take me instead. That's the same spirit in this boy. He said, they saved him of me, but I ain't said, they put my website and all. He said, but it's okay. They're trying to ridicule me in front of the whole world, but it's okay. I'll tell nobody about them. But they're losers to begin with. Carb tree can't bring forth good fruit. Neither could a good tree bring carb fruit. And by the fruit, you know them. You see, in your life, friends, what does make you turn the cheek? Jesus teaches us that. Pray for them who despitefully use you, speak all manner of evil against you. Why is he teaching that? You know, people walk away from that teaching? The crowd gets small. We got to teach them kind of thing. This man crazy, yo. We think people are a bunch of mooks. He said, this guy likes to live Roman oppression way, denomination oppression way, soldiers exploited way. And now he comes and talk to this kind of thing. What kind of teaching is this? This man right in the head? Where you learn this kind of teaching from? You know what he's teaching? He's teaching and not going to let certain things get in your subconscious mind. Because you're controlled from the engine room. That's how we had to close, you know. But brother, you see where I want to go? He's teaching that. Because why? In life, it needs be offenses going to come. When offenses come, your anger and your flesh is riled. You get humiliated, you want to defend yourself. You want to attack back and lash back. Somebody knows something about you, and you know twice time about them. You might want to open and go look at them things. And Satan is pushing you to fight the battle that way. But you know what God wants? Keep it out of your subconscious mind. Not a flesh and blood of fear. It's not a flesh and blood of fear. Angels take and report back to your Father. You're on your way to glorification. The test is designed that way. But your conscience is the path of life. The path of life. The light that shines unto a perfect day. Oh my. That's why. You come from the Father's house to Potiphar's house. From Potiphar's house to the prison house. From the prison house over Pharaoh's house. He was coming from one stage to the next. A spiritual evolution. He was growing up in the mystery. He was growing up in the mystery. It had been cultivated. And every place was designed to discover the potential of the more. To learn to harness the power. And learn how to let loose the power. And how to work with the power. Because you're born to use that power. Do you know you're born with power in your life to use that power? Do you know 7 times give faith, and that faith is to use the power? Faith to operate the word? Why is God giving you perfect faith? I pray you tell me. Because there are people in this age going to live by every word. I take faith to live by every word. He called it from walking after the course of this world, from walking by sight to walk by faith. He called it from looking at things that are seen to looking at things that are not seen. You were dead in sin and trespasses. You were born in the humanistic realm. He came down and dropped down in that humanistic realm and raised you up in the realm of revelation. And now you live in another sphere. You live by another influence. And when they started telling this, look what he did. And Joseph wept when they spake to him. He began to weep. They make him cry again. Why can't you believe me? This is a picture. Our sins put Jesus on the cross, you know that? Then he come back and forgive us. And then we still can't feel he really forgive us. We believe in the voice inside of us saying, he already forgive you. And he says, pardon. I drop the charges. I forgive you. You are free. There's now no condemnation. I put in this here forgetfulness. You are justified. There's no condemnation out to you. And God did that so we could come into faith. Because we're born for a purpose. Like them brothers are born for a purpose. Levi had to come into the priesthood. Judah had to come into the throne of authority. But look at us. Look at us. We can't receive. We have to believe he said, and we can't accept it. They had no bed and ground for that word. They couldn't receive the vision of him coming to power, and now they can't receive the word that comes in their mouth, declaring the forgiveness. Isn't that strange? Yet they're born in the right family. Yet they have a great inheritance as Israel. Yet they have a landmark out in Canaan for every tribe. Is that right? Yet all them in birth get the name, and that name connects to a place in the Holy Ghost, Canaan land. But in the experience coming to it, it's difficult. Is it too difficult for you? Can't you just this morning say, Lord, I'm going to believe it. Lord, I'm receiving it. I'm going to take you at your word this morning, Jesus. Lord, write it in my heart. Lord, even though I don't fully understand, reveal it to me. Teach me foot on it. And Lord, that which you're holding me and have me focus into, don't let me lose sight of it. Don't let me walk away from the series and forget it. But Lord God, keep in a place that even I go back to it and I can bring it back to remembrance. You can teach me further upon it. Ask him for that right now and he'll give it to you, I guarantee you. Liz, you can play a little bit for me. I'm going to have it there for 5 minutes, nothing more. But I want to close. And I see that you need to get me down and bring me down in closing mode. I learned that the other day. Get musicians to come and play a little bit, and then I said I get down in closing mode. So let's do that. Ray, Jason, you, whoever it is. Now listen to this now. This is Mark 11, 20. I'm reading something here. I'm closing, I'm finished. I'm going to stop here today. Praise his mighty name. Your hidden power, Joseph's hidden power. Every time you hear me say Joseph, that is you. Code name Joseph. End time Daniels, end time Esther's, Joseph. Perfection. We need the perfection series here. Joseph, perfection. The mature church, the right church. The church that turned the place in the authority. The church that have love and forgiveness. The persecuted church that hold no malice and no grudges. Is that right? Chose by faith. Church that can look with vision beyond this life. Even while you're living in this life, you can give commandment concerning your bones because you know your destiny already. You know back in the foreknowledge and you know your predestination. Perfect faith. He's saying here, he's reading Mark 11. Jesus answering, saying to them, have faith in God. Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. The man who could believe and don't doubt in his heart. Your subconscious. A man saying it here, he believe here, but he doubting in his heart here. Here he has a word of knowledge. Here he reads the Bible. Here he hears the message and he retains. And he rehearses. And he learns. But here, where he have to operate it and make it happen, it's in conflict with what he knows and even confesses and teaches. God had to teach Joseph about that. Look at Moses 40 years after. They say, who do you think you are? You want to rule over us? You want to be some judge over us? You want to kill me like you killed the Egyptian yesterday? Moses gets scared. Moses in love was trying to unite them. Brothers, we are one. Be united. You know. He said, you come as some lord over us? You some rule over us? You want to kill me? Kill me now? You think I got the Egyptian you killed yesterday? Moses take off. 40 years after, 80 years old now. God come and say, Moses, I'm sending to go to Egypt. He said, Lord, didn't you believe me? 40 years didn't erase that. 40 years did not erase that. He still had the complex. He still had the complex of being rejected, humiliated, ridicule when he's trying to help people. Until God wants to wait until you have in your hand. He said, they will believe in now with this. Remember also David. David and Saul. Saul persecuting. Because the people were singing, David killed 10,000, Saul killed 1,000. But that gets all crazy. Jealousy and envy is powerful poisons. It's spiritual cyanide. People take into the system. That You see all this, what look harmless, and that is power in an industrial age. And all the carbon monoxide that go up in the atmosphere and out of sight, out of mind. Now, as that little thing that disappear after a little while, warm up the planet, melt the glaciers, destroy the ozone layer, change the weather pattern, and man can't predict the seasons no more. And the storms get more violent, the hurricane get more explosive. Because sometimes people trying to walk along one line, seeing advancement, seeing progress, but that's not God provided way. When you watch the destruction come after that, now they realize we have to get clean the air. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to clean up the air. Not trying to clean up the ocean. Not trying to plant back more trees as they could. Man again, all trying to do something to save himself and save the world. And God already sent his son to die to save man and save the world. And they are trying to do by science what God don't do already, and it should be accepted by faith. Friends, you don't have to try to reform yourself. You don't have to try to educate yourself in religion. You don't have to try to compete in religious zeal. God wants you to take that word into your heart. I'm reading the word of the prophet. In the morgue. You might be in your morgue on your slab this morning. God sent Brother Ken to tell that little story. And he put himself for his eye was in that slab. And I saw his crimson stream. He saw it in a young, virtuous woman. Type of the church. Undefiled church. Separate the church from the world. Displayed in human form a written epistle read of all men. The results of the power of the blood that God put on display in a university full of beatniks and punks and everything else. Couldn't God do that again? Put a church now, undefiled, separated, spiritual. Isn't that what God planned for the age? And that get a beatnik, which would be on drugs, drunk, out in the world carousing, that had enough power to pull him all the way. And what pull him, he come into union with. Think of it. Isn't he the one that is pulling us, you're going to come to union with him? You know what Joseph was doing? I am Joseph. You thought you killed me. You meant it for evil. But God meant it for good. You didn't send me. You didn't do me nothing. That what they taught you was already planned by God before the foundation of the world. He got up into the sovereignty of God where he was living. Because to live there, you have no enemies. To live down here, you have to compete with, fight for, put up with, fuss with, stew with every day, shut out, every day, attack, defend. But up here, he walks in God's presence. The guy said a couple of years ago, well, God happened to get beat up. Take some beating up for the Lord, praise the Lord. Laugh at it and just go on. I tell people that. I say, ask people in my church. I come, I ignore that thing. I say, is this me? That is not me. And I just preach. You look at me funny. That's what you do. And these people still trying to fight. Years ago, I preached a message called God's Anointing for Death, God's Anointing. Death the bride victory, and the love of God is the anointing to die. Brother Sammy, myself, and Brother Renshu is coming to coffee. And just so we cross the road and walk in the Belgrove's funeral home. Walk in the Belgrove funeral home, and there was a person in a coffin. We all stood there, and I made a statement that says, I said, you can tell that person what you want. Tell them they're a dog, a rat, a old stinking critter, a polecat. You could call the worst of names. You could spit at them and kick them and stick them in the eye. I said, that person can't respond. They're dead. They have nothing to respond and fight you back. I said, that is the way we have to be in this life. That's where we have to be in this world. That's why this beaten prophet's eye will hit you. Look at him. Come down and save yourself. You can't save us. Jerk out his beard. Look at you and humiliate him. There was me, man. He said, no man take my life. I lay down my life. I have power to lay down my life. I have hidden power to lay down my life. Jesus. Hidden power to live your life, my brother. Jesus standing on earth, he knew where he stood. Mr. Colin Sutton Song. He knew who he was. He said, I have power to live my life. I have power to take it again. No one's sitting about that. I now have the power to lay down. I have power to take it up. This is the real Joseph. Any man or woman that's born of the Spirit of God knows where they stand regardless of what takes place or how many says yes or no. They know where they stand. There's no uncertain sound. The man who possesses it, the woman who possesses it, oh, what a blessed person they are. No wonder David said they were blessed, the blessed person. Lay him upon the operating table, try to cut the blessing out of him, you'll never find it. It's a hidden power. It's a hidden something. But it's there. Every man or woman that ever had it, know they got it. No uncertainty about it. Every man that had it had something different. The world knew it. Every woman had it, had something different. The world knew it. The world can see it. Your actions prove what you are. You can say you got it, but your action speaks so loud, they can't hear your voice. Your life speaks what you are. They throw Daniel in the lion's den. No uncertainty. He stood there. He had hidden power. Not a rabbit foot in his pocket or a charm to wear on his neck. Prophet said, not a rabbit foot in his pocket or a charm to around his neck. They trim in the land then. He had hidden power. He said, they make me sick with all these crosses and charms and everything, Protestant and Catholic, both wear. No virtue in them. You always want people with a big long cross on the neck, cross in the car and everything else. Yeah, it's all right to have it, but to worship it the way you do, hang it in your car, think it will keep you from having a wreck, it won't do it. Only the hand of God can do that. He give Bible illustration out. The brass serpent was alright. There was no condemnation in the brass serpent. But when they begin to get away from God and worship the serpent, the prophet tore it up. There you are. Daniel went in without any uncertainty. God's able to deliver me from them lions. But they threw him in the fiery furnace. And I believe when them lions started up there to look at him, there stood a halo of fire around Daniel. Any animal is as scared of fire. You know that. Those lions backed off. What was it? The hidden power that was in Daniel's heart come out and clothed him all over. I can show that in some pictures, you know. Stand separate one day. They thought that something from the outside come down. Let's go to the camera. Some of the inside threw out some. In San Salvador. That's in cloud you're talking about there. A hidden power. He said, come out, and it shrouded around him like a cloud all over. And he stood there. Hidden power. Something in you. You shake somebody's hand right away to know you love them. You walk into a room, and they can put on a light in a dark room. It's an atmosphere. You are the light of the world. I sit in a hill that can't be hidden. alarm, they literally put an alarm, start to give light. That's what you are. They get in contact with you, they get thirsty. It's a salt. Something salty. Create a thirst. Just contact. Just create a desire. Check your life sometimes. That's what He made you. You're living far below what He made you. Sitting down with some outside power and sitting down there with the malice and jealousy and envy and competition and strife and confusion in your mind and uncertainty. I went for outside power to come on that. No. You know, at that seed, that beautiful lily was in that seed, and that seed was done in that muck and mire. But that risen sun pulled it up where it ought to be. And when it came forth, He did not advertise, I have virtue, I have nectar, all you bees pass by here. They could smell it from a mile away. Them birds flying and drop down right here and come in to get the portion. The passerby comes and get the portion. The whole environment is beautified. Why? That risen sun wanted a testimony there. So He pulled that out and bring the separation, total separation from that dark world down in that muck and mire to put you on display to the rest of His creatures and give you something to give out to them. That hidden power was locked up in that thing all the time. Sometimes they get it or they have to crush it. Like they literally get the opium out. Like the rose of Sharon. But you know what that crushing that does? It makes a priest go in the presence of God. That opium does, it makes a man all nervous and frustrated and under pain and intense suffering. Calm and peaceful. But that's how it extracted. A little crushing in Joseph. Look what it brought in for all the world. A little crushing in you. What is coming out for the world, friends? Let's stand to our feet. Let's hear the song, I Want to Live. I'm going to live. I have purpose in my heart today. Jesus on that cross, even to the very end, after they put Him there, He was so determined to guard that subconscious. Now that's the wrong thing you're doing. Remember that. You don't move around at the end of the service. You sat in that seat, this is the time you wait. Train believers, this is the time you wait. When you're hearing the word the right way, you can't get up and walk out of that seat. That's the kind of people that come back in prayer line over and over and over. Because that's the kind of people that come in church mentality most of the time. Because some of these things you have to sweat it out, friends. Some of these things you're pulling on the breast of El Shaddai for it. Some of it this you want to get down the places. Because service to you is not attendance. Service to you, you come with a purpose in your heart. Don't you want to lift your hands and say, I'm going to live the way you want me to live? Look how many went around and didn't want to sing that song. That's how the chorus is going to live. Purpose in my heart to love, to release anyone that I may have under guilt and condemnation for some offense committed against me. I could never, ever outlove my Lord. There have been times when giving and loving brought pain. Stephen, it had been bashed in, could say, I forgive. Lean up the sin against the church. Jesus died. The Father forgive them, for they know what they do. And loving brought pain. When I didn't understand, I promised I would never. I would never let it happen again. Oh, but as God began to lift me out of that humanistic realm in the realm of revelation, as He lifted up high in His sovereignty, I found out that loving was well worth the risk. Was well worth the risk. And that even in losing, and that even in losing, I'll win. You mean that as a prayer, surrender to Him. A sign of surrender is to lift your hand to Him. Submit your heart and your will to Him. And make a confession to Him. He wants me. Not by might, not by power, but my spirit. A hidden power in your life. Through Christ, you can do all things who strengthen you. I show you a more excellent way, God's provided way. A way that your faith will never be paralyzed. Your spirit will never get bitter. Your power will never be ground off. You can stay in union under His influence, under His power. Live and walk in His presence. I could never, ever outlove my Lord. Oh, Jesus, show us. Jesus, show us. And Joseph was the Jesus of the Old Testament. The only true dying we live. Isn't that true? And He gave. When it seemed there was no more to give. Was no more to give. Oh, Jesus loved. When loving brought heartache and loss. He forgave. And the old rubber cross. Oh, so I'm going to live. I'm going to get it from my own way. And I'm going to take God's way today. Even where I stand here today in His presence, and I take inventory of my life, and I find them places where I deferred and disagreed and became contentious and come into strife and then put the enmity out of a root of bitterness. I'm going to let Him pull it up. I'm going to root it up myself today. I'm going to say, God, put me to that. I'm going to say, God, have a purpose in that. And I'm not going to see flesh and blood. I'm going to climb up into the realm of God's purpose. That His love. His power might be let loose in my life. Oh, you're a believer. Take a believer hand right next to you and sing it. Jesus showed us. And only to dying we live. By this love shall all men know you are my disciples. As I have loved you, so you should love one another. Bear one another burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. Take on the things of others. Forgive 70 times 7. They cried, Lord, increase our faith. Just like Stephen, the same life in Jesus came back in his church. And Stephen did the same thing. The God who was with us came in us and manifested the same life. Oh God, we stand united in your divine presence today, looking unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Desiring to grow in the knowledge of this hidden power and the laws by which we can cultivate it and see it grow and develop until we are so filled with it that we can live by this law of faith and love and see real forgiveness, Lord, where we can speak and don't have the doubt because we are not condemned in our hearts. We can believe in our heart and believe we have received what we asked for. Because that subconscious is clear. That faith from the uttermost can come forth. Never art love, my Lord. Oh, make me. The potter. He's the great potter. Maybe that's the place where you are mad. Maybe that's the crack in your life, in your vessel. Maybe it's because of insecurity you compete and you fight and you're always so defensive. Maybe because you are so insecure and you have no contentment and no peace. You become so selfish and self-centered. But you realize that when you walk by sight, live in this humanistic realm, see each other. But there's a greater way to come in the realm of God's purpose. Every head bow and every eye closed. I would like to invite God's servant, our precious brother Samuel Johnson, to one prayer. Ever since I know Brother Sam from a young boy when we came to the Lord together, how he loved to pray. How God put his grace in his life late in the night and very early in the morning. We'd rise up and get on his knees and pray. Many times we'd be out in the bushes. Sometimes I'm asleep in the air. I would hear him already up praying. All these years, he just walked so close to God. Still, as a man of prayer, and I have confidence that when he prays in his heart. Pray with the understanding of the Spirit. He's a man who lives in the Word. Believe today as our brother would pray, and we would join in faith. All throughout this building, looking for deliverance, looking for these poison acids of malice and these things that kept men who was born in the house of a prophet father ordained to a great position in the economy of God. Yet they could not get away from the guilt and the condemnation to walk in faith. They couldn't accept the forgiveness. Yet they lived so low, they couldn't climb up. Where the possibility existed to climb up where Joseph was, to live there with no grudges, to view life from God's perspective, to know it's planned, pre-planned before the foundation of the world. And God put the equipment in you even before He sent you to deal with everything that you will be confronted with in life's journey. And the Holy Spirit given access to a gift, a deposit in Joseph's life. You got to draw from God inspiration to know how to handle every situation in his journey, in his sufferings, in his rejections. Even when power came into his hand, he was merciful. He was loving and forgiving, having power in his hand to do whatever he wanted. Revenge could not even come close to him. Because of where he lived and grew, planted by the well, he was a fruitful bough. Be that, my brother, my sister. Because these things are demon power that you let into your life in germ form, not realizing it. It gets you sick in your body and bring death into your soul. Don't view these things. God's word is spirit and life. Satan's word is spirit and death. One is a seed of faith, one is a seed of unbelief. Life and death, friends. Let go. Be loose today. Move up into the realm. You can receive this deliverance. I believe that God is here to make that promise good to everyone. Today, if you'd hear his voice and you can mix it with faith, it will profit you much. Stranger, visitor, whoever you are, let's just believe. Let's have respect. Let every heart and mind be centered upon him. If two shall agree, as upon touching anything, it shall be done. It is no secret what God can do. If you ask for a bread, you will get a stone. Believe for your deliverance from these things. Purpose in your heart, you lay these things aside. This weight and this sin that has beset so many. Let faith come in instead of unbelief. Let love come in instead of hate. Let peace come in instead of confusion. Let joy come in instead of frustration. Let victory come in instead of you living in fear of defeat. Have faith in there. Believe in God, but I would pray.
Father, we bow our hearts before your throne, God. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, God, for this word that you spoke to our hearts this morning, Father. Lord, you know how we came in, God. You know what we was looking for, Father. You know what our expectation has been, God. As we see the Spirit all the couple months stirring into a particular channel, Father. Even to come this morning, God. And sit quietly in your presence. And to hear your Holy Spirit, God. And to see the great unfolding, Father. As you move from scripture to scripture, God. From places to places in the Bible, God. Even the quotes, God. From a vindicated prophet, Father. That had brought such an identification in our life this morning, God. In a deeper way, Father. As we see ourselves in the mirror of your great word, Father. We see ourselves waving back, Lord. We recognize it's you, God. You thinking about us all along, Father. You had known all of our thoughts, God, and how we came, God. And you know exactly where the need are, God. And you did come and fulfill it this morning, Father. Oh, God, you have blessed us, Father. Truly, you said, Joseph is a fruitful bow, God. You had blessed us with this blessing that you had blessed us even before the world was founded, God. We see it made plain now in the fulfillment of the vision, Father. Being actualized in our experiences, God. That brings us a determination to press, God, as the world unfolds, Father, and make us know who we are, God. Just as was spoken by your prophet, Father. We see it coming to pass in our own life, God. To this waving of the lives of these Bible characters, Father. For you know it wasn't Joseph, it was you, God.
Hallelujah.
It wasn't Moses, it was you, Father.
Yes.
It wasn't Abraham, it was you, God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God, in your prophet here, Father. And if we should look in every scripture and we don't see you, look again, God.
Yes.
Truly you came in the volume of the book. And as give us eyesalves, God, and anoint our eyes, God. Both microscopic and telescopic vision, Father, with prophetic insight to see beyond, to pass the human veil, God, and to recognize the word of God and the lips of a spirit-filled man is you speaking back to your bride, God, confirming the prophet's prophecies, identifying us, God, in the plan of redemption that's given us faith, God. Showing us places where our faith could be established, God, and we could be established in the present truth. We are happy, God, to see how you thought about us, Father. As you bring this secret place to us, God. As you minister, God, this entrance abundantly, God, Father. That we could find a place, God, Father, a resting place. Giving us confidence, Lord, in the anointing. Knowing the word is inside of us. Knowing it's not an outside God, but an inside God.
Hallelujah.
And how you say, God, to your servant, that God must be on the outside, on the inside, to see him on the outside.
Yes.
You establish these things in our hearts, God. Even from when we was young, Lord, you teach us how to see ourselves in the word, Lord. From the men on the road to Emmaus, to the mighty Gentile warriors. Even up to Joseph at this present time.
Jesus.
These secret passages that you allow us to pass, God, and you could mold the character into the image that you wanted, Father. And we could see now who we are, Father. We love you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
We know you are more than able, God.
Hallelujah.
To do the exceedingly abundantly above all we can do or think.
Hallelujah.
The evidence is visible, Father. Your status, great work, is more than able to finish it. For we have seen, Lord God, where you started, where you're stirring into, God, where we are at this present time,
hallelujah,
and where we will eventually be, God. It has become so adventurous, God. It has made us so conscious, Father,
yes,
to make us consider our littleness, Lord, to walk humble, to walk simple, Father. To see this great God to come down to little pure as us, Father. Oh, you've said, what is man that thou art so mindful of him that thou visitest him, God? Oh, God, Father, you have shown your glory. You have seen you in the unchanging continuity of your word. You have made your presence known. In the midst of our battles and trials, God, you stood there with us, Father. It reminds me of what David said, God, for I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. In that you said, you'll never leave us or forsake us, but will be there till the end, Father. He said, not even death could harm us. Lord, the prison couldn't harm Joseph. Lord, the pit couldn't harm Joseph.
True.
Not even Potiphar's wife, God.
Oh, God.
We love you, Father. So many places we could look at to see the security. So many places, Lord, your wave that gives assurance and confidence and stabilizes, God. And we could continue to keep on keeping on and give us that effervescent spirit to press constantly, oh God. We thank you, Father. Bless, oh God, them that sit in this meeting this morning. May this word go under the fifth rib, Father. May it bring forth little ones like yourself, God. May it bring forth after your own kind, God. You said you will do it, Father. This is the hour, God. We have come up to this place, Father. And the vine has gone over the wall, God. You can see little ones like yourself. Would you bless your people, God? Heal the sick among us, Father. May the healing virtues of this word meet the needy places, God, Father. Take away the infirmities of God. Remove the paralysis, Father. Stabilize the faith in every heart, God. May this church be a mighty marching army. We thank you, God, for your servant. One who is standing in the gap, Lord God. One who, God, Lord, feed the sheep, Father. One who knows where to find the watermelons and the cantaloupes, God. We have been enjoying God and being developed by these things into a fruitful life, Father. Bless him in a tremendous way. Keep him under the shed blood, under the wings of the Almighty God in the secret place. Oh, where the hidden manna is, God. Where the priest could partake, Lord, of the old corn. Your people could be blessed, God. We thank you for everything, God. May the hearers of the word just forget, Lord God, what they heard, Father. If they look in the mirror, not forget what they saw, God. We could walk, Lord God, out of this place knowing, God, that you spoke to us today. Bless all the strangers and the visitors. And may your guiding light continue to guide us up them 7 steps, Father. If we could see ourselves as you see us. For you say we'll be known as we was known. Have your way today. Bless us and take us safely to our homes. May this blessing go with us on our jobs, in school, at home, wherever, Father. Hallelujah. Knowing that your heart blesses us, Father. Have your way, God. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. For your praise, your honor, and your glory. With thanksgiving, Father. With thanksgiving, God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We are thankful.
Thank you, Jesus.
We are thankful, God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, my. Turn, greet your brother and sister. Tell them God bless them. Greet the stranger. Amen. Pray one for the other. Oh, my. Turn, greet your brother and sister. Tell them God bless them. Greet the stranger. Amen. Pray one for the other. As I strive daily, Lord, to see your word perfected, help me be so deeply sincere from within. Be sincere from within. For I know this is my time for consecration. I must lay aside my every weight of sin. So I can rise up. So I can rise up on the wings of faith. And saw the heavens wide, so I can live in heavenly places, far beyond the clouds and skies, so I can see like the eagles the things God sees from up above, just to follow. Oh, let's sing that first verse again. Nice try, daily Lord. To see your word perfect. Help me be so deeply sincere from within. How we need it, Lord. Oh, for I know. This is my time for consecration. And I must lay aside everywhere of sin. Oh, so I can rise up unhindered. Rise up on the wings of faith and soar the heavens wide. So I can live in heavenly places, far beyond the cloud and skies. So I can see. Lord, you've given me a path, the path of suffering, but bring me up in the glorification.
the brass altar to the Holy of Holies.
And you showed me just what I was called.
Same as you showed Joseph, amen. Lord, prepare me to be always in your service. A true service. Unto you, I want to do. Oh, God bless you. May I give it to you. Make you fit for the master's use. Prepare to do a good work.
So the heavens wide, so I can live in heavenly places, far beyond the clouds and skies, so I can see the thing God sees from up above.
Lord, you've given me a path to follow. I understand that now. Like Jonah, I wanted to go to Tarshish, but I must go to Nineveh, amen. And you showed me just what I was called to. Oh, great master potter, Lord, prepare me. Whatever it takes, be always in your service, a true service. A service according to your will in this hour.
I want to do.
God bless you, so I can rise up.
In his presence today, amen. Amen. Just want to have a little announcement. A lady's wristwatch was found on the compound. Owner can contact Brother Benny, amen. Also, Brother John Simon, his wife would like to thank the Lord for celebrating their 38th anniversary, wedding anniversary today, amen. Amen. Many have reached that far, amen, but they can Give God thanks for his grace in their lives. Amen. Praise his wonderful name as we leave. Amen. A pure heart, that's what I long for. Ushers will usher you out. Amen. A pure heart, that's what I long for. Heart that follows heart. A heart that follows heart after thee. A pure heart. A pure heart. That's what I long for. A heart that follows heart. A heart that follows heart after thee. A heart that hides your word. A heart that hides your word, so that sin would not come in. A heart that's occupied, one your rule and reign, one. A heart that beats compassion, that beats and that pleases you, my Lord. Oh, a sweet aroma of worship. Rises to your throne. Tis true, your true, a pure heart.